Life Audio.
Christian Parent Crazy World with Catherine Seegers is brought to you by Life Audio and is part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Christian Parent Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. I am your host, Catherine Seegers, and in today's episode, we will tackle this intriguing question: how is godly parenting central to sustaining our faith and our freedom? Yes, moms and dads, we are talking about legacy with one of the greatest intellects in the world today. I'm so excited. Oz Guinness joins us for one final episode to discuss the source, the roots, the DNA of freedom, and how we as parents have the charge of passing that heritage along to the next generation. That's the ground we cover in this episode of Christian Parent Crazy World. So let's get started.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hey, mamas and papas, please hit that subscribe button on whatever app you are listening on, and I'd really appreciate a 5-star review to get the word out about CPCW. And while you're at it, head over to KatherineSeegers.com to receive an incredible collection of resources, including my prodigal bundle for parents who are on the prodigal journey with a child right now, my specially curated scripture lists for parents, my ebook, Beyond the Lies, Uncovering 5 Myths the Culture Spreads to Mothers. I'm going to be a guest on a really big podcast discussing those myths very soon, and many other free resources, as well as weekly notifications about my new podcast, articles, and speaking engagements. Alrighty. So we are wrapping up our trilogy of conversations with the great Oz Guinness today. If you missed the first two episodes, please go back and check those out. Trust me, you will be so glad that you did. Oz is truly a treasure to America and to all freedom lovers wherever they reside. And he is a treasure to the body of Christ. Oz has a doctorate in philosophy from Oxford and is the author or editor of more than 30 books, including The Magna Carta of Humanity, Sinai's Revolutionary Faith, and The Future of Freedom, which we have been discussing throughout our conversation. As I mentioned before, after the Bible, I would say that this is perhaps the most important book I have ever read. If you want to understand where we are in human history and where America is as a nation, this is the book to read. Now, I just love today's episode. It is the culmination of all that we've talked about. We discuss how human dignity and worth is found in the Christian faith alone through the Genesis declaration that we are made in God's image. We discuss how freedom flows from that reality and no other source. We talk about how the West is in decline and is in desperate need of revival right now. But how does that happen exactly? This is where it gets so good, moms and dads. It's so encouraging. That's our job As parents, we have the greatest part to play in procuring freedom and equality, human dignity and worth by passing along the truth of our faith to the next generation. You're going to be so encouraged to hear that as the world seems to get darker and darker by the minute, the light that we pass on to our children will lead the way, not only for them, but for all who are to come. So with that lofty goal to impart, let's jump right in. Welcome back to Christian Parent Crazy World Oz. It is one of the great honors of my life having this conversation with you.
Oh, my pleasure to be back with you, Catherine. Thank you.
Okay. So in the last episode, we covered a lot of ground. We were really discussing the state of the union, which is really the state of the world and the place where our children and our grandchildren live. And as parents and grandparents, we must understand the underlying ideologies in play in our world today and where they're heading. But I would venture to say that no one in the world is better qualified to guide us in this conversation than you are. And today we're going to talk about the origin of freedom, a topic that you discuss at length in your book, The Magna Carta of Humanity, Sinai's Revolutionary Faith and the Future of Freedom. So I know that my audience is predominantly American, probably. Explain for us just very quickly, what is the significance of the Magna Carta in history? Because we focus more on U.S. history, and I know I covered it, and I've covered it with my kids. I actually did a little puppet show for them on the Magna Carta years ago. But explain for us the significance of the Magna Carta in history.
Well, historically, Magna Carta is iconic because it was the first great stand on behalf of freedom and human rights and the limits of the abuse of power in England through the king. And so Magna Carta is iconic, but I would argue that Exodus and all the truths it contains is far bigger than Magna Carta. It's the Magna Carta for humanity.
Yes.
Because it truly is the master narrative of freedom and a sustained critique of the potential of the abuse of power. Now, that's important because as we look around the world, the alternative to the West, and the West is in decline, are the rising autocracies, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and the like. In other words, authoritarianism. So we need to have a strong, robust counter to that through a strong view of freedom. And that's what's missing in the West today. That's why it's important.
Mm-hmm. And we find that through the inception of the Hebrew Republic in the Old Testament. And then it actually goes back to the Genesis Declaration. I would like to read this section on page 78 of your book. I loved this. This was so beautiful. By the way, I was listening to this book on tape or the audio version while I was reading it. I love hearing your voice read this. It's so beautiful. But you said, and this is page 78 on the Genesis Declaration. The Genesis Declaration is brief, but stunning. It changes the status of humanity forever. It flashes across the darkness of history like the first rays of dawn and lights up humanity and the human story in its warm and brilliant light. No wonder that the Genesis Declaration, that humans are made in the image of God, is a foundation stone of the Magna Carta of humanity. Then you go on to say this. This so blessed me. You say the central thrust of the story is about the power of God freeing the powerless from captivity and oppression. A free God frees his people to worship him freely and to build a free society worthy of that freedom and theirs. Why? Because God himself is sovereign and free, and he has made humans in his image to be significant and free. So for his people, created in his image, captivity and oppression should never have been. The world should be otherwise. Evil, injustice, and oppression are never to be taken as normal, inevitable, or final. They are always to be fought. Humans are to be free as the image bearers of God, who is free. The Genesis Declaration that humans are made in the image of God and the likeness of God is the clearest, strongest, and most influential statement of priceless value of the individual human being in human history. End quote. Sorry, I know it was a long section, but that was so mind-blowing and altering. I wrote in my book, Mic Drop, after this, please speak to us about the importance of what God has done for us as human beings in this Genesis declaration, which is the great charter of humanity.
Well, you can tell you love that, and I love that idea, too.
Love it.
You think of the American Declaration of Independence. You could probably read the whole thing.
Portions, not quite all of it.
Jefferson, we take these truths to be self-evident. But, of course, those truths were not self-evident except to people who knew the Bible, because it's the only place where you have that high view of humanity, that regardless of physical handicaps, regardless of education, regardless of wealth, regardless of anything, every single human being has a worth and a dignity because made in the image and likeness of God. Now, that's incredibly important today. Because we're not only in a post-truth society with postmodernism, we're in a post-rights society. And the Universal Declaration used to be considered the Bible of humanity for the secular people. But actually, it's now considered Western or something like that, or white, right? Because, you know, Charles Malik, who wrote those words, was a Christian. And without the biblical foundation, it simply isn't true. Humans have no innate worth if they're not made in the image and likeness of God. We're animals. And you can see we're highly disposable and so on. And it's the great dictators of the 20th century who not only hated God, they hated, in effect, the image bearers of God and destroyed them, all the mass murders. So this is an incredibly important truth. So my view is we're not only defending the best of the past, the Bible, American Revolution, and so on. We're actually doing that and looking forward to the future. So it's the once and future significance of this that's important. So say the West declines. Well, we've got to unite with the global church in standing for a better way. And humanly, the heart of it stems from the fact that we're made in the image and likeness of God, human dignity. That is the cornerstone of everything. Now, the Old Testament has a whole series of truths, human dignity, truth, words, freedom, justice, covenant, peace. You go on down the line. These are the great foundational truths which matter, not just for a free republic like America, but for the future of humanity. So I think we should be exploring these things as Christians, because they are the once and the future key to a good way of living.
And the seeds to finding them are in our holy book, aren't they?
They take the Bible as some sort of holy book that's religious. Of course, it is a sacred book. It's the only book that's shared by two faiths, Jews and Christians together. But it's very practical and gives us the best politics as well as the best way of knowing the Lord.
Amen to that. That is so true. I love the smackdown that you gave to Jefferson in your book. That was awesome.
Explaining Jefferson. I'm not trying to smack him down.
Yes, because he said that it was written in the book of fate that these people, that the slaves would be free. That's where you gave him a little bit of a smackdown there. I thought
you meant the Declaration.
Oh, no. The Declaration. There was obviously the Declaration. He said one thing, but then, of course, he was a slave owner. And then you bring up the fact that William Wilberforce tried to have to get Jefferson to come on board with the idea of freeing the slaves. And then, you know, there was this dichotomy with him. And then he said that nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate that these people shall be free. And then you said, written in the book of fate, fate has never freed anyone and never will free anyone. Fate is antithetical to freedom. Freedom has everything to do with faith, not fate. Slavery is the norm in history and abolition is the exception. And of course, what we find in Exodus is that God comes down. He frees these people who have been in bondage for 400 years. He brings them out into the desert. And unlike Bad King John in 1215 with the Magna Carta, where his hand was forced, right? He was forced by his people to sign that document. God comes down and freely offers this agreement with the people who had nothing to bargain with. What I mean, they had nothing to give. They were former slaves that the only thing they had was the plunder that God allowed them to take out of Egypt. So speak to the significance of what God did at Sinai with the inception of the Hebrew nation, the creation of this republic, and under the consent of the governed, that he would give them that kind of government, which has never existed before in human history, and then was the impetus for the Reformation, and then following that, our great revolution in 1776.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Well, you know, if you think of Exodus, and I mentioned the Nasta narrative of freedom, you think of a film like The Ten Commandments, you know, Yul Brynner, Charlton Heston,
yes,
people go. People only think of the Exodus, but the book as a whole has three major parts. The first part is Exodus, liberation, freedom from, and you have to start there. But the second part is Sinai and the covenant. An ordered freedom, freedom and an understanding of how they were to live together. And the third part is the making of the tabernacle. So the Lord doesn't just say, let my people go. He says, let my people go that they may worship me. Or the alternative is that they may serve me. You remember Bob Dylan's song, Serve a Master. In other words, the libertarian idea that we can all be autonomous totally is rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody serves someone or something. So you have these three movements in the book of Exodus, freed from, yes, Pharaoh, the ordered freedom of how to live freely together, but then the making of the tabernacle, they needed to go on worshiping the Lord daily, serving him daily. We all live under someone. Under God is so important. So we need to have all three parts of Exodus together.
Hmm. That is so good. I love what you said on page 25. Exodus shows us nothing less than the DNA of ordered human freedom. We need to understand where freedom comes from, how we can maintain it, because obviously we've accomplished freedom, but can we sustain freedom? I've heard you speak to that before. Sustaining freedom is not the same thing as obtaining freedom, is it?
No. No, and the framers understood this wonderfully well. You can win freedom. That's one thing. The revolution did that. They won it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to order freedom, and they did that too. That's the brilliance of the Constitution. But the really challenging task is the third one, sustaining it. And that takes forever. As you quoted Franklin earlier, a republic, if you can keep it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my golden triangle comes in. And I love the fact that the framers had different views of faith and different views of religious freedom. But one thing they all agreed on, as far as I can find out, is the idea of sustaining freedom. Freedom requires virtue. Virtue requires faith. and faith requires freedom, which requires virtue, and so on. And like a recycling triangle, it goes round and round and round. But the trouble is today, every one of those three legs of the triangle is under assault.
Mm-hmm.
Because Americans have lost the way to sustain freedom. So the republic will have to decline unless that's reversed.
What are the best things that we can do then as parents, as citizens of this nation, that we've been given this faith? And one thing you talk about in the book I love is that there's this idea out there that somehow this ordered freedom kind of evolved from the French Enlightenment. That's not where it came from. They went back to the scriptures, to the Hebrew Republic. And they were, you talked about how many of the leaders back then in the 17th century or the great thinkers were kind of obsessed with this, right? They were obsessed with this idea of what had been created here, because there's not another instance in history where that occurred again until, are those the only instances in history, like the Hebrew Republic and then again when the English tried to do that in their revolution and then the American Revolution?
The Swiss.
Oh, okay.
The Swiss Republic is a covenantal republic, too. See, the big three, the Jews, the Swiss, and the Americans. The English one failed. You mentioned parents. That's
yes.
Important because, you know, again, I mentioned later in the book, the rabbis point out, what did Moses talk about the night of the Passover? 400-odd years, tonight they're going free. He never mentions freedom. They're on their way to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. He never mentions it. What does Moses talk about? Three times the night of the Passover, Moses talks about children.
Hmm.
Because the stories parents tell to their children are the key to identity and the key to continuity. The stories we tell to our children, that's why the public school crisis is so important. The public schools used to pass on the American unum. A pluribus unum collapsed, and you have Howard Zinn and more recently the 1619 Project. So homeschooling has done an incredibly good thing because it's the stories parents tell to their own children that are so significant for the passing on of the republic, as well as, of course, family values and so on.
One of my favorite portions of scripture is Deuteronomy 11, 18 through 21. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them. As you sit at home and as you walk along the road, as you lie down and as you get up, write them on the door frames of your houses. And I've got Psalm 90 written over the door frame of my house. And on your gate, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. As many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Fix these words of mine in your heart. So as parents, that's our imperative, is to fix the words of God, to plant them as seeds into the hearts and minds of our children, and to understand, as you have helped me to understand more than perhaps anyone, is that freedom comes from our God, who is free and sovereign, and he declares that we are free and we are made in his image. And the government that he instituted, they're in Exodus with these people that had nothing but the clothes on their backs and the plunder they took out of Egypt, that he gave them this representation. He gave them this freedom. But as you say in your book, what is the greatest enemy of freedom?
Freedom.
Freedom.
But go back to what you're saying about parents and children again, because Deuteronomy 11 is so key.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Jewish history, they had universal education nearly 1,800 years before anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
First in the West was Britain in the 1870s, but the Jews had it in the second century.
Mm.
It goes back to what you're saying. Now, that's the key. They could be scattered across the world as they were, persecuted viciously as they were, the victims of genocide as they were. What helped them to survive was their education through families of children. That's so important, and I love champions of homeschooling like Sam Sorbo and others. And this point is so important and needs to be got across, because you mentioned earlier people going to colleges and coming back losing their faith.
I think some people do well in going to good colleges, but they need to be kept ahead of the game. In other words, warned and trained and prepared, this is what you're going to face, and here's the answer before you get there. Because it's when they're unprepared that they're knocked out. But homeschooling is incredibly important, and those who start with good, solid homeschooling really have the best foundation of all. I was talking to a senator some years ago, and he said, you know, in my staff, the only difference between the homeschoolers and the Harvard graduates is that the Harvard people know it. The homeschoolers are just as good, but without the arrogance that goes along with Harvard and so on.
Yes, we can instill that virtue of humility, which you talk about, it's freedom, virtue, faith, that instilling those virtues are so critically important in our kids. You know, I love the conclusion of your introduction. I think it's so often we feel like there's nothing that we can do. I know that my audience is filled with really busy parents who are worried about paying bills and getting food on the table. Solving the freedom crisis in our community sometimes can seem like a very lofty but unattainable goal. But you speak to that saying so beautiful on page 27. Only the few, not the many, are ever open to listening. But it is only the few and not the many who will make the difference that will count in the end. Let there be a fair and wise consideration of a vision that is truly nothing short of the Magna Carta of humanity. Humanity and our children's children deserve no less. End quote. I think that's quite a charge to us as parents and an encouragement to us as parents that it is the few, not the many, who ever really fulfill the call, but it's also the few and not the many who make the difference, right?
Catherine, you know, one thing I'm seeing in another book I've just written, we're in a civilizational moment. Every civilization reaches the point it's inspired by something, but it loses touch with its inspiration. And when that happens, there are only three broad choices: renewal, replacement, or decline. But here's the point. Historians like Arnold Toynbee, Peter and Sorokin, the great historians of civilization, they all point out that what is key in a civilizational moment or a moment of crisis like we are in now is the creative minority. It is the few. It is the positive remnant, the people who are faithful. And that's why we should be encouraged. We're called to be salt and light. We are the few. We are the creative minority. We've got to be that with courage and confidence and know that under the Lord, it will make a difference.
Amen to that. Thank you so, so much. And just in the closing moments, I just want to tell you, obviously, you have contributed so greatly to so many in helping us to understand history and theology and culture and worldview and philosophy. But as I was sitting, I was worshiping on Sunday this week at church, I realized that I was worshiping a God that I understand more than I did before. And because I understand who he is more, the magnitude of who he is and what he did for me and for all of us with the Genesis declaration that we're made in his image and then what he established and ordering freedom, I worship him with a greater understanding of who he is and who I am because of your work.
Well, I owe a lot of that to Francis Schaeffer. And you know, he's not the greatest preacher I've ever heard, but almost every sermon, his voice would break. He was overcome with awe at the truth and the majesty of what he was saying about the Lord. And I love that. I mean, in other words, too many people, these are just bare truths or remote doctrines. No, these things should stir us deeply. The wonder of the difference of who the Lord is, it's amazing. I'll never forget when I was studying under a guru, and I knew it was challenging to really see the differences between Hinduism, which is very profound, and the Christian faith. And someone told me, Schaeffer told me, if my little boat was being swamped, get out. But suddenly I saw the incredible difference between the Lord and all the gods of Hinduism with all their philosophy. And I was just overcome with gratitude and wonder, love and praise. So who the Lord is should always move us deeply in that way, as well as inspiring us, you know, apologetically and politically and so on. But it all goes back to worship.
Worship. And I believe, I know that you've helped me to do that in a more sincere and enlightened way, just because I understand who God is more. So thank you. Thank you. You're a treasure to the Christian community. And I'm so grateful to have had this time with you to enlighten my audience. And I encourage my audience to go and get all of your books. I'm collecting them and working my way through them. I must say that your work, it's some books you can just burn through. Yours, I have to sit and savor. I have to sit and chew on it and savor it. I gave the Magna Carta of Humanity to my dad last Christmas, and I came back, and he's a voracious reader, incredible library. And like 8 months later, 9 months later, it's still on the coffee table. I'm like, Dad, you're not done with it yet? And he's like, no, not this book. This book has to be savored. You just go at it. Take the scenic route is how I would put it. I would put, and with most of your works, I like to take the scenic route.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Pleasure to be with you, Catherine. God bless.
Thank you, Oz. It's a true honor to have met you and to have had you on our show. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you.
You can find out more about Oz at OzGuinness.com and get a copy of the Magna Carta of Humanity wherever books are sold. I'll have all those links for you on the show notes on Life Audio, as well as on my website at KatherineSegers.com. So what makes the difference in human history, moms and dads? Well, it's the stories that we tell our children. It's the truth that we plant in them. It is the faith that they see lived day in and day out from us. Ordinary parents planting the seeds of an extraordinary God in the hearts of our kids. This is what makes the difference in the lives of our children and in our communities, in our country, and in the world. The work we do on a daily basis may not seem that big, mamas and papas, but it is the hand that rocks the cradle and then the hand that takes the hand of that toddler and walks alongside that child all the way into adulthood and beyond. That's what changes the world. We have the ultimate power and responsibility in raising the next generation. Our work is incredibly noble and significant. It is vital, moms and dads. This is why the family is under such attack in our culture today. Strengthen the bedrock of your family. Build your family on the truths of God's word and watch as your children go out as little arrows from your quiver to change the world. Up next on CPCW, we're going to be talking about how to do just that. I love it when a plan comes together. We are going to be discussing how to raise our kids in this lost culture, a culture that is much like Babylon in Scripture, and our kids are like little Daniels, or at least we hope for them to be. What can we learn from the book of Daniel that applies to raising kids in the 21st century? Well, actually, a lot. My very special guest is DJ Harry, a pastor who is going to glean so much parenting wisdom for us from the book of Daniel. You don't want to miss it. I want to thank you for joining me today. Look, I know there are a lot of things you could be listening to right now, and I really appreciate that you took this time to spend with me. I hope you will join me for my next podcast when we take aim at some aspect of our culture that threatens to derail our parenting and steal our kids' faith. If you enjoyed this episode of Christian Parent Crazy World, would you consider telling a friend and sharing it on social media and giving it a good review over on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and following me on Facebook and Instagram? Oh, and maybe you could say that Christian Parent Crazy World is the best podcast you've ever heard in your entire life. Just a thought. And be sure to check out my website, which is KatherineSegers.com. That's Catherine with a C. I have lots of articles and resources there that will help you on your parenting journey. And if you subscribe, I will be sure to send you some really cool free stuff and notify you of future podcasts, articles, and blogs. I want to end this and every episode with a word of encouragement.
God gave you your kids, your specific kids, for a reason. That's because you hold the key to unlocking who God created them to be. We'll see you next time.
Christian Parent Crazy World is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you liked what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review this podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Are you concerned about tensions in the Middle East? Do you wonder where we're currently at in the biblical timeline? Are we really in the last days? Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Carl Muller with the Inside the Epicenter podcast. Every week, my co-host, best-selling author Joel Rosenberg, and I answer those questions and more. You'll hear inside knowledge of our meetings with leaders at the highest levels of government in the U.S., Israel, and the Middle East, equipping you to filter the news with biblically sound insights. Find Inside the Epicenter on your favorite podcast app or go to joshuafund.com to listen and subscribe.